Our gospel reading comes to us today from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, you'll find that in the back portion of your pew Bible on page 5. Hear now Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your storeroom, your closet, and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen, and you may be seated. Please pray with me. Almighty God, inspire us by your true and living Spirit, that we may know more of what it means to be your children, and that we may faithfully respond to the call of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one in whose name we have gathered and the one in whose name we pray. Amen. Closets are great. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You can store stuff in them. We put our clothes in our closets. We put our shoes in our closets. How many of us keep the items that we need for our beloved hobby in the closet? Closets are great for keepsakes. How many of us have letters and cards from family members from days past? Maybe we have pictures that we store in our closets. How many of us have a closet set aside where we keep our mops, our brooms, our buckets, our vacuum cleaners, things that we need to use to clean? Anybody hide stuff in your closet? That was where my mom would hide stuff in the closet when we were kids for Christmas and birthday presents. That is, until we found it, or she became better at hiding, I'm not sure which. But closets also come in a lot of different sizes. They come really small and they can be pretty large. Like, for instance, my second apartment while I was in college, I had this walk-in closet that was half the size of the bedroom. I was a college student. I didn't have many clothes, much of anything to begin, actually. And so I decided I'm going to turn my closet into my office. So I put my computer and my printer in the closet. So as I was preparing to come on full-time here, the staff Pastor Parish Relations Committee said, you need a set-aside office. Where are we going to put you? Aha! I have experience with this. There's a nice closet up on the second floor in a classroom. It'll be perfect. So feel free to come visit me in my closet or office anytime. I'd love to visit with you. But closets have their downfalls too. How many of us store junk in our closets that we just need to get rid of? I've told some of you before that when we were preparing to move up here in 2012, I was going through stuff and I found a set of factory car speakers that I didn't even own the car anymore. And I'd been lugging them around for like 15 years. I might need them someday. How many of us use closets to hide things that maybe we shouldn't have at all? How many of us stick things in our closet that we should bring out and use for our own benefit or for the benefit of others? I've told you before, my dad was a musician. He was an excellent guitarist, but for too many years, he left that guitar in the closet because closets are a place where we can put stuff away and forget about them. And yet Jesus says, when you pray, go into your closet. That closet that has good qualities and not so good qualities, go there, Jesus says, because I want you to do some serious work. The work of prayer. Now, it may seem strange to consider prayer being work, but I think if we do it correctly, it is real work. Now, it's not a whole lot of work if we approach prayer sort of like Santa Claus and say, "Dear God, here's my list, 1, 2, 3, 4, and God, you work on that, and I'll try my best to be really good, and you do all that for me, amen." And that's certainly a place to start. But I think that prayer is less about talking to God and more about communicating with God and communing with God. I think that when we do prayer correctly, we listen to hear what God is saying to us in that time. And if we listen closely, I think God calls us to do some serious work. Sometimes when we ask God to work on something in our life or in our community, if we listen closely, God might be saying, "What are you willing to do to work with me to make that happen?" While we ask God to change things outside of ourselves, I think God is often changing us in prayer to meet that need that we see in the community. When we pray for others to change their ways, I think God sometimes makes us see ourselves more clearly. Maybe we see things about ourselves that we never knew or were trying to hide. God helps us to get in touch with who we are in prayer. And often we will find there that there's something that we need to change. So if this may be the way that God works, I'm convinced that when we come to God praying about what we are feeling or just not feeling, God helps us to respond appropriately with our emotions. And that's not easy. I have a hard time sharing my emotions, especially if they're negative. And then to think about prayer, how many of us have been taught through the years that we can't show those negative emotions to God, especially if it's against God? But thankfully, we have the Psalms. These songs that are also prayers. And as I've read and studied the Psalms over the years, I am struck by the complete raw emotion that is found there. I see extremes of emotion from pure ecstatic joy to the depths of sadness, from awe and wonder to the fire of anger, from sheer confidence to overwhelming fear, from the shine of pride to the darkness of shame. I think it's kind of fun to think about the Psalms, and if they were being written in more modern times, who might have sung them? Can't you hear maybe Bobby McFerrin or Pharrell Williams singing the happy Psalms? Maybe Hank Williams or George Jones whining out the sad ones? Or maybe even T-Bone Walker or B.B. King just really moaning through some other psalms and occasionally taking a little break to let their lyre or their harp do some wailing too. But no matter what type of song the psalmists sing and pray, God meets each psalmist in each emotion, even when that emotion is directed at God. Then Romans 8 comes along, as Josh read earlier, and reminds us that even when we don't even have the words to express what we are feeling or just not feeling, God meets us right there as well. I am convinced that when we do the real work of prayer, we are confronted with a God who is okay with our emotions, even emotions that are directed against God. We meet a God who encourages us to live in and to express those emotions. Like I said, I have a hard time expressing emotions, especially the difficult ones. That is hard work for me. And sometimes I try to take the easy way and avoid what I'm feeling. I put a face on and try to hide it. But Jesus says, "Go into your closet and pray." But closets are more than literal spaces, aren't they? I think our hearts, our souls, our minds are also places that can be closets. Think of the many things that we store there. Memories and experiences, both good and bad. Gifts and abilities, but do we let those gifts and abilities shine like they should? there's openness right alongside of prejudice. Certainly our emotions, a full range of them, are there. But also who we really are is there in the midst of our hearts, our souls, and our minds. But how often do we get caught up in the closet of our hearts, our souls, and our minds? How many of us try to stay there because it seems like an easier place to be? And yet, even though Jesus says, when you pray, go into your closet, Jesus never says, stay there. In essence, Jesus says, go into that closet, spend some time in the work of prayer, then with the grace of God, go out and do the work that is there that you can do. That's difficult. It's hard to share our emotions because some may not like the emotions that we have to share. When we come out of that closet, folks may not like us when we come out because we may be different than they expected. When we come out of that closet, people may challenge us. We might have to challenge them. When we come out of that closet, we just may not feel like it. And we'd rather just be alone. But of course, the Bible says it's not good for us to be alone. I've said time and again, if you've been in my class, you've heard it, there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. No doubt we can experience God alone and have some very wonderful, amazing experiences in those alone times, but to be a Christian drives us back into the community, into the body of Christ, to share what we have learned. But though I can easily say that there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian, I've found that that's easier said than done. You see, I'm an introvert by nature. It's a whole lot easier for me to stay in my little closet. I remember very clearly several years ago, it was over 6 years ago because Micah wasn't even around yet. Sandra was away on a business trip. It had been a long day, and in fact, it had been a long few weeks. I was worn out, I was just plain tired, and I was sick of people. Have you ever felt that? You're just sick of people? I had no desire when I got home that day to interact with anyone, and my plan was to avoid people at all costs. But I was tired, I didn't want to cook, and I was hungry. So I thought, I'll go through drive-thru somewhere to minimize the people contact. But nothing sounded good. And then all of a sudden, my taste buds was wet with the taste of those burgers from the grocery store across the street. This grocery store had this amazing takeout section that had all of these amazing things, but man, those burgers were so good that they almost make me want to stop trying to eat vegan again. But I thought, man, it's always so busy over there. I never go into that store where I don't run into somebody I know. I can't do it. Mark that off my list. But man, I was hungry and those burgers sounded good. So I thought, well, I'll go in and I'll try to hide in my invisible closet. And maybe, just maybe this time, no one will be there. So I kind of kept my head down as I walked into the store and I placed my order and I tried to find an inconspicuous spot to wait because you had to place your order and wait for them to cook it to order. And there I was in my invisible closet when I heard it. Is that you, Troy? My heart sank. My cover was blown. So I put on my happy face, the fake one, and I went out to greet Greg and Shelley, two church members, don't get me wrong, great people, friendly, loving people, but I had no desire to interact with anybody, let alone really nice, friendly folk. Well, they were sitting there waiting on their food as well, and as we waited, we talked. I don't remember a thing of what we talked about. But I was drawn out of my closet. I found a joy that I needed to experience that day. The negative feelings were still there. I still needed to go deal with those, but I needed a break from those negative feelings. I needed to be drawn out of that. And they helped me to do that. I needed to experience another emotion to be able to cope with what I was feeling. It kind of reminds me of the experience of when we lose a loved one. There's great sorrow and sadness, but it brings us together, doesn't it? And we begin to share stories with one another, and even though it's sad to have lost, when we hear those fun stories of the person we've lost, there's a little bit of joy that is found. Maybe we see some little cousins playing, cousins that maybe don't see each other very often. And it brings a moment of joy in the midst of sheer sorrow. So certainly we need time alone in our closets to deal with what we are or are not feeling. But Jesus never says to stay there. We have to come out and allow God to work through community. Because remember, wherever two or more are gathered, Christ is there, right? So I've got a confession to make. I have always had trouble praying in public. To this day. Part of it, no doubt, is my inherent shyness, but seriously, a greater part of it is that Jesus explicitly says, when you pray, pray in secret. You may have a similar story, but I grew up in an area in which praying in public was sort of a litmus test. You better pray when you go eat at the restaurant. You better pray at school. If you don't, I'm not sure you're a Christian. But even as a youngster, it didn't quite jive with me, and I was pretty much a literalist back then. I just couldn't get past what Jesus says. Don't pray in public, but in secret. Fast forward a few years, it's my first semester in seminary. It's my first few weeks, maybe months, at the first church that I served on staff. I was visiting with my senior pastor. We were trying to come up with a plan of things that I should work on to prepare myself for ministry in the local church, to find where my rough edges were that needed to be smoothed out. And in the midst of that planning, I let my little secret out that I didn't really like praying in public, and I explained why. Well, John, he agreed with me about praying outside of the church. But then he said, now, the church is just a really big closet. It was just a side comment. It was passing on the way to moving on to some specific plans that I could do to help me deal with praying more confidently in public. But I kept coming back to that. I mean, at first I thought that was the craziest thing I ever heard. The church is just really a big closet. But it got me to thinking. If we think back to the early church, so many people had to worship in secret for fear of losing their livelihood, if not their lives. They would meet secretly in people's homes. They would gather in the catacombs where the dead had been laid to rest. There's even a tradition that some would gather under overturned boats on the seashore, and though this church doesn't have it, a lot of churches, the architecture is such that the ceiling looks like an overturned boat, that you're underneath the boat. So I was kind of buying that, because this, in a sense, is a secret place. But I also was reminded of what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, God has put us, the body of Christ, together so that there won't be division in the body, and so the parts might have mutual concern for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gets the glory, all the parts celebrate with it. We meet God for sure alone in our closet, but we also meet God in shared community, where we can share what we're feeling or just not feeling, where we can find sisters and brothers to help us to carry the load. So each Sunday, when church time rolls around, whether you're singing a happy song, moaning a country weeper, or wailing the lowest blues, come here to this great big closet. sing that song one more time with or without feeling. But if you don't even know what to sing, come anyway and join in someone else's song. Because in that you will meet a God who loves you, who knows you by name, and who wants a personal relationship with you. And that God, our God, your God, shares in whatever you're feeling or just not feeling. Thanks be to God. Amen.